This is Shir 42 in our series on Avodas HaBetochen. Tonight we're going to start a whole new topic on traveling for work. In the Psicha of Shir HaBetochen, the Chavos HaBavos outlines the baseline spiritual and physical advantages of possessing authentic trust. He dictates that one of the immediate tangible rewards of Betochen is a deep internal tranquility that eliminates the psychological and practical necessity to travel long distances for parnasa, livelihood. Chavos HaBavos warns that uprooting oneself to travel to far-off lands for commercial expansion carries severe consequences. It systematically breaks down the physical strength of a person's body and dynamically shortens their designated lifespan. He anchors this reality in the explicit verse in Tehillim 102:24, Inoi b'derech koichi kitzar yomai. He weakened my strength in the way he shortened my days. To illustrate the spiritual flaw of distant commercial travel, Chavos HaBavos records a historic account from the early life of a prominent parish, an ascetic. At the very beginning of his spiritual development, the parish chose to leave his homeland and travel to faraway country explicitly to seek out parnasa. Upon arriving, he encountered a Gentile who was actively engaged in avodah zarah, in idolatry. The parish approached him and rebuked him sharply, saying, You are deeply blind and foolish to worship a powerless idol of wood and stone. The idolater looked at him and countered, And whom do you serve? The parish declared proudly, I serve the Bari Olam, the creator of the universe, who single-handedly sustains every single living creature on earth, and there is absolutely no power like him. The idolater delivering a stunning, crushing response, Your real world actions completely contradict the words of your lips. If it were truly true that you believed in an omnipotent creator who sustains everyone, you would have realized that your parnasa is just as easily available to him inside your own locale, your local city, as it was here. You would never have bothered to undergo the grueling toil of traveling to this far-off country to find your sustenance. Recognizing this raw critique as a clear sign from Shemayim, the parish immediately repented, returned to his home city, and never left the boundaries for the remainder of his life. The Chavos HaBavos demonstrates from this story that frantic, long-distance commercial travel stems from a subconscious deficiency in a person's betochen. This exact principle is amplified in the Sefer HaChachma Musar, who denounces the lifestyle of merchants who constantly wander city to city, country to country, out of financial anxiety. He labels them as Mitani Amono, those with little faith, referring the explicit framework codified in the Sefer Shemra Amunim, Amir Kuf Peches. This spiritual philosophy is double-locked by two remarkable midrashic accounts that underscore Hashem's hyper-precise, localized orchestration of livelihood. Number one, in Medrash Rabbah, Parshas Tazria, Parsha 15, Ois 3, a story is recorded of a Torah scholar who was sitting and publicly expounding on the supreme precision of the divine providence. He taught that HaKadosh Baruch Hu engineered that a human body such that he created a separate individual whole and customized wellspring to nourish every single hair on a person's head. Hashem meticulously structured reality so that no single hair ever takes nutrients from its neighbor. His wife heard him proclaiming this and immediately challenged him. Hashem exercises such a staggering precision to feed every microscopic hair on your head. Why are you currently preparing to take a long-distance trip across the sea to seek out parnasa? Stay in your place, and the exact same Hashem will seamlessly provide for you locally. The scholar accepted her words and remained home, relying entirely on the Bari Olam. A parallel account is recorded in Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Tazria, Siman 7, regarding a holy Kohen whose career was evaluating Negoyim for Tzaras. Facing intense financial pressure, the Kohen decided to travel to Chutz La'aretz to find livelihood. He informed his wife, saying, the local community is accustomed to bringing their negoyim to me, and it pains me to leave them without a leader to rule on their purity. Therefore, before I leave on my journey, I will teach you the exact biological markers of leprosy so you can judge them in my absence. If you see that the hair and its underlying well springs are completely dry, you will know the status. His wife delivered an ironclad argument. If every individual hair Hashem created has its own customized well spring and life force so it never has to steal from another, then you, a complete human being with countless hairs, a family, children dependent on you, will certainly be provided for. If Hashem sustains the hairs, how much more so will he sustain you here? You shouldn't leave the city. She successfully blocked his departure, anchoring his family in local reliance. From this entire convergence of classic of sources, we face a massive glaring question regarding the historical destiny of Shevet Zvulun. In Parshas Vayechi 49:13, Yaakov Avinu crowns Zvulun with the explicit blessing, Zvulun l'choyv yamim yishkoyim v'hu l'choyv aniyois v'yarkasoy al tzidoin. Zvulun shall dwell at the shore of the sea, and he shall be a shore for ships, as flame shall be upon Sidon. Kli Yoker explains that this text implies Zvulun's permanent home will be static in one location, but he himself will constantly be traveling on commercial ships in the heart of the open sea. If long-distance travel is a spiritual blemish, why did Yaakov sanction this lifestyle for an entire tribe? In his letters, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky unties this knot by presenting a vital distinction. Zvulun operates under an entirely separate rule because long-distance seafaring was explicitly designated for his soul from the very onset of creation as his authentic tafkid and chelik in this world. The Malbim notes that Zvulun was born with a specific custom to chunas nefesh, nature of the soul, engineered for his high leverage commerce. It was his unique tafkid to work on the open ships, open seas, mimerchok tavilachmo, and bring sustenance from the great distances. This definition is also double locked by the Holy Zohar, which states explicitly, Hayom hu nachlosoi. The open sea is his literal sanctified inheritance. Furthermore, this customized destiny is verified in the Gemara, Gemara in Megillah, Davav Amud Aleph. The Gemara records that Zvulun stood before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and claimed, to my brothers, Yisachar, and the other tribes, you gave beautiful fields and vineyards, but to me you gave only seas and rivers. Hashem responded that his commercial travel would serve as a magnificent merit to uphold the Torah and study of his brother Yisachar. Summary, and the general rule. For the vast majority of mankind, packing up your bags to travel long distances or move across oceans out of financial panic reflects a direct deficiency in Bitachon. We must perform our shtalos locally, knowing Hashem's provisions is perfectly precise. The exception, long-distance commercial expansion is only sanctified if it aligns flawlessly with an individual's explicit, divinely ordained tafkid, as it was with the historical archetype of Shevet Zvulun. Next year, we will continue on this topic. Have a wonderful evening.